Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate. Who do you think will win the football later?
That's a tough one to call. First thing I would say to you is ignore all the paper talk and them TV pundits in their fancy suits. Sorry, son, I didn't mean you. Listen, if you want a sure winner, put your money on... Oh, no! Sandra's back and I forgot to take the bins out.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet with BetVictor. 18 plus, please gamble responsibly.
Son, I'm locked out.
Very good day to you all. Welcome back to BetVictor's Eye on La Liga as once again we look through some of the main talking points going through the world of Spanish football. I'm Ollie Wilson. Alongside me, as always, well, I say alongside me, that's a very loose term, really. There's about 4,000 miles between us, at least. I'm not entirely sure of the exact measurement, but Jason Pettigrove on the line to have a chat all things La Liga over the weekend. Jace, how you doing, mate?
I'm hot and bothered, but I'm all right, thank you, mate.
Yeah, interesting story off air about why you're bothered. Won't go into it too much, but it's got me a little disgruntled, I have to say, listening to what's gone on over the weekend for yourself. And yeah, we need to keep real journalism alive, I think. Obviously not this show. This show isn't real journalism in any way, shape or form. We're just chatting Spanish football. I assume you caught most of the games this weekend. There were some interesting results around La Liga, particularly when you look at Real Madrid against Real Valladolid, which... After Madrid looked pretty good last week and played reasonably well in this one as well, but weren't able to hold on to their late advantage.
No, I mean, the supposed revolution has really been nothing of the sort, has it? If you looked at the starting 11, I think it was only Courtois was the difference. Everyone else was like Madrid 2014. I think it's different subject matter, but shoddy treatment of Navas, but we won't go there. Game itself, yeah, I think Real were good value for a win. I think they did a fair bit more than Valladolid, but the visitors, they sort of kept at it and hunted down in packs towards the end. Now, unfortunately for Real Madrid, as we saw in sort of the latter stages of Zidane's tenure before, too many late goals conceded. They're just sort of switching off. I don't know where Danny Carvajal was going when the ball was played into Sergio Guardiola. But obviously a fault of his, and they've got to cut out those individual mistakes. They're all world-class players there, let's be honest. I just think they need something that they don't have yet and that they didn't have when Zidane was there before. And I think, you know, a couple of good results turns the tide around for them a little bit, but that's not a great result for them at all.
Certainly not. Vinicius Junior has admitted that he knows he's not playing well at the moment, and he's and Real Madrid are a little bit worried about that. They're worried as well about James Rodriguez out for 3 to 4 weeks after picking up an injury on the weekend as well. The Colombian, who coming back into the side, had been doing okay in this first game and a half of the new season, despite not really having much involvement in pre-season action. And both he and Gareth Bale, the Colombian and the Welshman, have been a breath of fresh air considering all the rumours that they were going to be leaving the club, and Zidane's been forced to stick with them. But they don't need this. They don't need another injury.
I think I read somewhere earlier on it's their ninth injury in something like 40-odd days or something like that. And I do wonder what's going on behind the scenes in terms of their fitness regime, because I seem to recall, again, when Zidane was there before, that there were quite a few injuries during his last season as well. Like you say, with someone like James, who probably didn't know where he was going up until very recently, and now looks nailed on that he's going to stay at Real Madrid, can settle back down again, start playing the football we know he can, and then, of course, then he gets this injury that's going to keep him out for a month, it's going to knock him right back. Perhaps there's no guarantee by the time he's fit again that he gets back in the side, depending on how they're playing. Bale, as we said last week, who knew that he was going to be, you know, one of their stars? They're an infinitely better side when he's playing. Whether he gets on the score sheet or not, his pace, his power, his work rate, he brings something to the team that if they lose it, that they're very much different. So I'm pleased for Bale if he wants to stay there. Zidane has to take it on the chin. And I'd like to see in sort of 6-8 weeks that Bale's still in the side, he's still doing well and he's still bringing what he does to that team. We'll have to see. I mean, Isco's another one. Obviously, he came off at the weekend, but we thought his time at Real Madrid was long gone, and yet, you know, he's being given a chance as well. So, yeah, very interesting times there at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, interesting, but also slightly uninteresting in terms of, as you mentioned, looking at the starting 11 and the lineup that Zidane is now picking, because as you mentioned, it's a complete rehash of what he had before he left last time round. Interesting as well, like, Jovic has not been able to make an impact in the first two games of the season, really, particularly with Benzema playing really well to start the campaign, which I always enjoy, because I always think Karim Benzema gets a bit of a raw deal at Real Madrid. You know, when he plays well, everyone says, well, that's what we expect. And when he doesn't, he gets a good kicking from the fans, basically, on social media and from the written press as well, seem to really go after Karim Benzema when he's not on form. So it's nice to see him starting the campaign well. I think they're using the Arsenal technique of dealing with injuries, you know, like sledgehammers to fix dodgy legs and stuff like that. Because if you remember, Arsenal used to have awful, awful rehab of their players, and players who were meant to be out for 3 weeks would end up being out for about a month and a half or something like that. So maybe, just maybe, Real Madrid have adopted that technique. It's used by some big clubs, not to great effect, I have to say. But Real Madrid aren't able to get the job done on the weekend. A bit of a raw deal as well for that home opener of the season. It's not the first time in recent years that they've been a slightly subpar on home soil at the start of a campaign. Is that just, do you think, air of arrogance that they think that Fortress Bernabeu? Are we going to go Bernabeu for this season, or are we going to go Bernabeu? Because it always used to be the Bernabeu. It's been a big debate about how you say stadiums Bernabeu. And player names.
Bernabeu, it's got the accent, Bernabeu.
Okay, we'll go with Bernabeu. So, Camp Nou, Camp Nou, or New Camp?
Oh, never New Camp, please. Just don't get me started on my soapbox on that one. You might have seen on Twitter, actually, a little while ago, I had a little bit of a set to with a certain Mr. Lineker, because we'd always been told it's...
Gary Lineker's on Twitter?
He is, of course.
Wow, like never noticed him on Twitter. He hardly ever tweets.
And then we had this thing, it's Camp Nou. But then he got on his soapbox a little bit and was like, no, it's Camp Nou. And you should know that, because all of the locals say it like that. The reality is, people say Camp Nou, Camp Nou, never New Camp. Does it really make that much of a difference? Is it the Camp Nou or just Camp Nou? Anyway, we digress. Getting back to the Bernabeu, or Bernabeu, whichever way you want to call it. I think, I'm not sure that it's arrogance as such, but, you know, there has been, with Real Madrid at home, when they've played teams that perhaps they perceive them to be weaker sides. Maybe there isn't that same degree of focus there, which, when you consider the seniority of a lot of those players, is quite a few players there that have played in World Cup finals, high quality players. Realistically, week in, week out, Real Madrid should be beating sides like Real Valladolid with respect. And the fact that it's happened on more than one occasion over the last few seasons suggests that there is a bit of a mental issue there for me.
Don't give me that with respect thing. It's just a flat-out sentence that you're allowed to say, that Real Madrid should be beating Real Valladolid on home soil. None of this respect. I'm done with respect. There's no respect in football anyway, with the players rolling around cheating and all that sort of thing. So I'm not having any of this respect. That's when we start to get into like Twitter wars and stuff like that between clubs and things like that. So we don't need to go into that in any way, shape or form, Jason. Real Madrid should beat Real Valladolid. It's a disappointing result that they didn't. What they need then is perhaps an injection of some superstar talent, perhaps, Jason, to come into this side, with the deadline for the transfer window coming up at the end of this week. And therefore, it's no surprise that the Real Madrid delegation is allegedly in Paris this Monday, talking all things Neymar, as is every single quarter of the Spanish press. It's like games didn't even happen this weekend. It's just Barcelona launch another attack trying to get Neymar. It's been genuinely difficult at times this weekend to find match reports to read through because of the amount of discussion that's going on around Neymar. But is he going to be a Madrid player? Is he going to be a Barca player? Or a PSG just going to bat away all who come for him and end up keeping him by the end of this week?
Do you know what? My honest opinion is I actually really don't know. I think what we do know, Neymar wants to go to Barcelona. given the choice, he doesn't want to go to Real Madrid. He doesn't want to stay at PSG. PSG have got the financial clout to bat away any offers from anywhere and keep him there. But then obviously you've got the situation, as a lot of clubs have, you have an unhappy player whose heart's not really in it, and he's no good really to anybody. Obviously they've got injuries now. I think Mbappe's out for 3 weeks. I believe I read somewhere that Cavani also got injured. So there's a reason actually to keep him, certainly now, for the first few weeks of the season, because they need him. I don't actually know why Real Madrid want him, to be perfectly honest. Is it just a statement signing again from Florentino Perez, Galactico signing him because they can without having...
Is it not a middle finger to Barca? Kind of, oh, you really want him, don't you? Well, we're Real Madrid, so we'll get him. Is it kind of winning the propaganda war that way between the two clubs?
Well, it may be, but, you know...
It's an expensive one.
If they don't go on then and actually win the title, and they've got Neymar in the side, what does that say? I mean, we've had it before where they've bought big and not been able to integrate them properly, not got the success they expected. So I think, you know, middle finger otherwise, that would be a pretty stupid way to go about conducting your business. I think from what we read, and again, there's so many different sources, so many different newspapers, and you've got to be very careful when you sort of filter through all the news that's coming out. But what we're led to believe is that PSG ideally don't want to do business with Barcelona, that they'll rebuff any offers that they get from the Catalans, and then they'll try and get something out of Real Madrid. Yeah, Real Madrid allegedly have offered 2 or 3 players and 100 million, and that's still been turned down. So look, at this stage, I mean, we said, didn't we, a few podcasts ago that it was boring then. It's become just... it's saturation point now. It's no one really cares. I don't really want to say it like that, because whoever he does sign for, if indeed he does, I think that kicks off a whole other discussion as to whether the supporters are cock-a-hoop that a superstar aside from, because still on his day, he's still one of the top 2 or 3 players in the world. There's no getting away from that. But, you know, do either Barcelona or Real Madrid actually need him? I think that, you know, there's another discussion point to be had.
Are you being asked to prepare any articles for Neymar's arrival at Barcelona potentially by the end of this week?
No.
So that's always a sign. I know sometimes it doesn't happen. I had a friend who worked at Real Madrid who was writing for the club website, was told to prepare a number of stories about Francesco Totti's imminent arrival at Real Madrid 1 year, and then it just never happened. And he basically last minute smashed out these 4 articles or so for the club's website, and then they never saw the light of day because the move never happened. So it's not obviously a defining factor, but that always tends to kind of lead you to think that a move is going to take place if the club is starting to prepare the imminent press releases for the player's arrival. I don't understand why PSG would let him go, particularly as you mentioned the injuries that have cropped up this weekend, but also, you know, he's a very valuable asset. And the money that they're asking for Real Madrid or Barcelona to stump up, and if it's going to be the case that it's going to rebuff all offers from Barcelona, then fair enough. But even so, the money that they're asking for, you know, is an extortionate amount of money. But at the same time, if Neymar's worth that, it's probably worth keeping him. He's a great player, even if he, you know, love or hate his personality that's always on Instagram and stuff like that. And he is brand Neymar at the end of the day, and he comes with all of the hoopla around him, and he wants to be the main man. But I think it's a perfect situation at PSG for him, because he is guaranteed to be in the limelight. If he goes to Real Madrid, he could easily get outshone by either a storyline that is the resurgence of Gareth Bale under Zinedine Zidane as they make friends and Bale leads Real Madrid to a fantastic season. Eden Hazard, of course, who's still waiting to make his first appearance of the new campaign, out with injury at the moment, the new arrival at Real Madrid. He's the big Galactico at the moment at Los Blancos. And at Barca, he's never going to be anything but in the shadow of Lionel Messi, who's still slowly being brought back into the side. So I don't know why Neymar really wants to move. I don't know why PSG would get rid of him, because they need that level of quality to attain what they need in the Champions League, and that is to get to at least to a Champions League final, because that's the only thing that they really desire.
But I think that's the point. I think he knows, as we all know, that PSG are as far away from getting to a Champions League final, let alone winning it, as they've ever been, regardless that they've got Neymar, Mbappe and whoever else. They're just, for some reason. Again, I think a lot of it is mental. You get to the latter stages of the competition and their bottle goes, quite frankly. So I think he probably feels that if he's going to win the Champions League again, it's going to be with either Barcelona or Real Madrid. I think, you know, obviously we've got a week to go now until the window shuts, and so then the conversation ends whichever way it is.
No, it just bubbles along until December. Come on, Jason. No. The conversation never ends around Neymar's move.
Well, I think it has to end for a short while because it's bored me to tears. It's bored everyone to tears. But I think it needs him to come out and say where he wants to go. And again, only from what you pick up and, you know, whether you trust the sources or not, he won't come out and say that he definitely wants to go to Barcelona, even though it's known he does, because that will alienate him from Real Madrid. Obviously, Real Madrid would then pull out. And if PSG then decide that they're not going to accept any bids from Barcelona, it leaves him stuck. He clearly wants to leave. So it's a game, at this point now, with a week to go, it's a game of brinkmanship between all parties, and we just have to wait and play the game and see what happens.
I guess Barcelona are all okay without Neymar because they had a nice victory 5-2 over Real Betis this weekend. And hey, they've got another star signing, by the way, this year at Barcelona. Antoine Griezmann. Are we going Griezmann? Are we going Griezmann? I mean, what are we doing with player names? We've done stadium names now. What should we do with player names on this one, Jase?
I think it's Griezmann, but Griezmann's perfectly acceptable. Let's not get into another tete-a-tete about that. I've already done that with TalkSport after they were having a bit of a funny turn about it last week. But no, I mean, what a performance. 2 goals on his debut, home debut. First goals, actually, that he's ever scored at the Camp Nou, or Camp Nou. second goal was a great goal. I mean, first finish was great anyway. A sort of stretch to volley from Sergio Roberto's cross. Second one was sensational. That's what Barcelona have paid for. A world-class finish. I think if he carries on like that, it's not going to be too long before he sort of turns the Kool-Aid in his favour. There's obviously been the issue with how many bridges that he's burned because of what happened a year or so ago. But I think he's done everything that he can. Since he's come to the club, he's worked hard. He's obviously now starting to score goals. He's integrated very, very well with the players. He's clearly well liked from what you see from the training footage. So I'm very pleased for him. I'm also very pleased to have seen Carlos Perez and Ansu Fati get a chance as well. The latter second youngest debutant in Barcelona's history in the league showed no fear. Well, neither of them showed no fear at all. Both very good cameo performances, and it was great to see Perez get on the score sheet as well. So very, very decent performance from Barcelona with those 5 goals.
Yeah, good weekend win for Barca. And well, after their shaky start against Bilbao, plenty very happy to see the Catalan giants moving up in the world. Once again, next week they go away to Osasuna as we take a look at the matches coming up next weekend. Sevilla take on Celta de Vigo and Athletic Club take on Real Sociedad in the early starts on Friday. And then we have Saturday, Osasuna-Barcelona, Getafe against Alaves, Levante against Real Valladolid, Real Betis against Leganés on Saturday evening. And then Sunday, Valencia host Mallorca, the newly promoted side. Atletico Madrid take on Eibar on home soil. Espanyol take on Granada, and Villarreal will host Real Madrid. Until next time on Eye on La Liga, we'll be looking back on all of those games in a week or so. Big thanks to Jase for joining me as always.
Thanks for having me as always, Ollie. And I look forward to chatting with you again this time next week when we'll probably find out if Neymar's still in France or if he's moved to Spain. Cheers, mate.
Remember to get on to BetVictor for all of your betting needs on La Liga football. You must be 18 or over. Please gamble responsibly. Visit begambleaware.org for more information on that. Follow BetVictor on Twitter at BetVictor. And of course, you can follow at Jason Pettigrove as well on Twitter. That's at Jason Pettigrove. And myself, O_J_Wilson. Until next time, enjoy the football.